consonants that divide is a common word, sharing it, intoning it through the vowels that unite. So the sound that you have just heard may be the first time in a very long time that this name, the divine name, the ancient name of God that lives in the cells of all life and in every cell of your body, has been shared in the way that it was intended to be shared, sung through the vowels that unite rather than spoken as a common word through the consonants that divide. I just invite you to listen to this sound that you've heard and feel the feeling in your body. Make a mental note of how that sound feels to you. And this is going to be important as we move into the next section of our program. So what have we done? What have we done these last few moments? We've talked about this code, the ancient name of God. It was deleted over 6,800 times in the text that formed the basis for over half of the world's religions. What we now know is that there is, in fact, an ancient / modern number code that we call atomic mass. It allows the elements of all life to be read as the letters of the ancient alphabets. We know that the first layer of the message in our cells literally reads, literally translates into the words, God, eternal, within the body. God within the body. This message, this powerful message, is a reminder that all life is united through a common heritage. And what it does is it gives us a reason to see ourselves differently. It renders the reasons that we have destroyed one another in the past obsolete. Albert Einstein once said, I see a pattern in the world around me. He was always looking at the intricacy of nature as a divine expression of an underlying intelligence. He says, I see a pattern, but my imagination cannot picture the maker of the pattern. But he goes on to say, we all dance to a mysterious tune intoned in the distance by an invisible piper. That's a beautiful quote. And in his way, once again, Albert Einstein is saying, there's something out there. There's something else out there, an intelligence, an intentionality. And although we may not be able to see it in its entirety now, we see its results as life in the world around us. Well, a text message in ourselves of the many things it implies, it certainly implies an intentional creation that suggests that we're here on purpose. And it's interesting because people who've studied evolution, myself, I studied this when I was in school, many people feel that evolution is such a, the theory of evolution is such an accepted and solid theory that there's no room for anything like this on the one hand, while on the other hand, some of the researchers who postulated evolution themselves suspected that something else might be going on. A lot of people like to quote Charles Darwin, and they quote Darwin to support their beliefs that evolution is the way that life has come to pass. So I'm going to quote Darwin as well, and I'm going to quote another portion of his work where he himself suspects that there might be something else happen. This is a quote. What he's saying is, to suppose that the eye of any creature with all of its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, he says, absurd in the highest degree. This is directly from his book, The Origin of the Species, page 168. He says the eye is just one example. It's so complex. If we assume that it has just randomly arisen over time from evolution, it doesn't make much sense to Darwin. He was his own worst critic. Darwin said if one piece of the theory of evolution collapses, the whole theory has to be rethought. And this is him questioning even himself. Well, more recent times, Francis Crick, the co-discoverer of the DNA molecule, has said something very, very similar. When he was asked to share his beliefs about where he thinks the DNA molecule and life has come from. Many different theories out there. One of the theories that was very popular for a period of time was that maybe DNA came to this world embedded in a meteorite from some other world that broke apart and traveled the vast distances of interstellar space and came to this world and implanted, impregnated the fertile soup of Earth with this form of life. There's a lot of problems with that theory. One of those is that if DNA did come to Earth in a meteorite, that the heat generated when it comes through the atmosphere would be so intense it would destroy any DNA that was out there. This is a direct quote Francis Crick says to us. It is unlikely that living organisms could have reached the Earth as spores from another star or embedded in a meteorite. He goes on to say, therefore, there's only one possibility. He says that a primitive form of life was planted on the Earth deliberately. And this is from his book, Life Itself, where he actually discusses his beliefs. He goes on to say, very specifically, DNA was sent here. It was sent here to Earth. So maybe it's not so far-fetched as some of the most popular scientists of our time and our modern world, as well as those who have come before us, question the viability of evolution all by itself as the reason for our being here. While it may have played a role in our development, the question is, does it alone explain our existence?